Good morning. I've got a question for you. Do you want to be successful? College students are dialed in. Do you want to be successful? That's a question that a lot of us wrestle with in our lives. We want to do it the best we can. We're raised to do a good job. And there's actually a lot of research out recently that once we hit a certain level of IQ, after that, the number one predictor of success is self-awareness. Self-awareness. I don't know if you have a really quick working definition in your brain. I didn't. I had to Google it. So here, I want to give you a question or a definition of self-awareness. Self-awareness is the ability to objectively evaluate yourself. So you understand your motives, your strengths, your weaknesses, your desires. You know how to manage your emotions. We all have emotions. Some are really strong, some are not. But we all have emotions, but you know how to manage them. And lastly, you know how to align your behavior with the things you value. So if you value something, you actually know how to point your life in that direction. And so self-awareness seems like this fuzzy, like, actually, what does that look like? And so sometimes for us to understand what something is, if we study the opposite, we can fully understand what it is. So I thought of who's the most unself-aware person that we may all know? And the answer is Michael Scott from The Office. Like, you're laughing because you know it's totally true, right? Michael Scott is radically unaware. He cannot objectively evaluate himself, right? His mug is the world's best boss. And while he's a loving character and we all feel sorry for him, like in moments you're like, yeah, he's totally not the best boss. He's not the best manager. And next is he doesn't always manage his emotions well. It feels like almost every episode is what happens because Michael doesn't handle his emotions well. He gets too excited, too fearful, too frustrated, too aggressive. Something, it just what happens because he can't manage his emotions. And can he align his behaviors to his values? Michael loves everybody but Toby. He loves everybody, but he often says the most horrible things to people, right? And he can't just align his behaviors to his values. And so the question is, why do we watch this show? Why many of us watch it? It's always a fan favorite. Why do we watch this show? I think it's because it literally feels like you're watching a train wreck in slow motion, right? Like this guy has no clue what he's doing, what's gonna happen. And we see this reality, a completely unself-aware person, it's not gonna go well. So often, sometimes, I love watching that show, and here's the thing about me personally, like I'm being a little vulnerable. Every now and again, I'll watch the show, and I think to myself, am I Michael Scott? You know, like the people who work at Keystone go, oh boy, he's self-aware. But here's the reason why. It's because I want to be successful. I want to do a good job. I want to be an incredible father. I want to be an awesome husband. I want to take the job that God's given me and do the best that I possibly can. So I want to be self-aware. I want to be self-aware of who I am. But here's the truth. I don't want to just be successful like in worldly standards. I want to be successful in the kingdom of God. I want to be successful in things of God that matter eternally. And so if self-awareness is the way that we can be successful in this world, how can we be successful in following the things of God and working in his kingdom? And the question is, does the scripture give us any clue here of how we should do that? And you know the answer is yes. And we're going to be turning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to be reading about the Apostle Paul. He's writing in 1 Corinthians 15. And here's what we're going to find out is that Paul is not just self-aware in terms of like he knows his strengths and weaknesses, etc. Here's what we're going to find out is that Paul is incredibly self-aware in the gospel. And the way I'm going to say that is that he is gospel aware, and his success is actually tied to the fact that he understands the gospel and who he is in light of the gospel. And our passage today is going to show us that. So we're in 1 Corinthians 15, 9 through 11. While you're turning there, I want to remind us of where we were at last week. Pastor Matt talked to us about the power of the gospel and that the gospel was this incredibly powerful, important thing in our life. And we read these statements that are true about the gospel that are really historical truths that have a spiritual weight for us today. And this is what it is, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried because the sins, our sins, killed him. He was buried, and then on the third day, he rose again according to the scriptures. And that reality that he took our sin on him, it killed him, and then he rose from the grave shows that we can have new life and overcome the power of sin and death in our lives. Somebody say amen. Yeah, so that's what we see. And then right after that, he's like, and he also appeared to some folks, in case you're thinking he was just like, you know, he showed up a little bit. Like, he appeared to people, to Cephas, who's Peter, to 12, to the 500, James, and then the apostles in verse 8 last week, Paul, or Matt ended with, and last of all, as to one born at the wrong time, he also appeared to me. And so Paul's now entering himself into this story of the resurrection. And his next statements in verse 9 through 11, you can tell that Paul is radically gospel aware. So let's read it together and dial in here and let's learn some things. Verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have believed. He makes in these verses some incredibly strong gospel statements that show how God aware he is. And I don't know that he consciously or unconsciously asked these questions, but what he's saying, he's wrestled with what the power of the gospel in his life. And so there's these three questions that he's asking himself that's showing himself to be gospel aware. The first one is this: who am I without grace? Who am I without grace? He's got an answer. The next question is, who am I because of grace? And lastly, what can I do because of grace? We're going to answer those questions as we dial through this. So let's look at verse 9 again, answering the question, who am I? He's answered. So for us, who are you? Who are we without grace? Verse 9 says this, for I am the least of the apostles, not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Paul's coming in and he realizes who he is without the gospel. He's like, I'm the least. I'm not the greatest. I'm the least of all the apostles. I don't have anything to offer you. He's not even worthy in his mind to be called an apostle. And the reason is because he persecuted Christians. It was what he did with his life, is he reached out and persecuted Christians. Not only was he not just a metaphorical enemy of God, he was a literal enemy of God. He's like, I'm the least. I am nothing. And for us, as we apply that to our life, who are we without the grace of God? If Paul's the least, what are we? We're nothing. Our spiritual conditions, Romans 5 says that we're enemies of God. Ephesians 2 said that we are dead in our trespasses and our sin. And maybe this morning you haven't spent your career persecuting Christians. Maybe that's not you, but I promise you, in your life, you have participated in sin. You have done things in your life that set you apart from God. And you said, I'm going to chase my own thing and not your thing. Thank you very much, God. And here is the answer for us. Who are you without grace? Without grace, you are nothing. You've got nothing to offer God. It doesn't mean that you're not made in his image. You don't have value as a human. It's just spiritually speaking, we have nothing without grace. We're dead in our trespasses and sin. So the next question is, who are you because of grace? Who are you because of grace? Verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. Paul's coming, he's like, spiritually speaking, I was dead in my trespasses and sin, and now I'm alive. Ephesians 2, 4, you should know this. I hope you've heard this before. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ. Even though we were dead in trespasses, you are saved by grace. Paul's saying, I am what I am because of grace. I was dead and now I'm alive. I am a new creation. And not only has a new creation been made alive, but he also has a role. God has made him an apostle. And what's interesting is this story. We kind of just read these things and forget this is a real human. He spent his life persecuting Christians, doing everything he could to stop Christianity spread. So he went from an enemy of God to now he is a leader of the gospel momentum around Asia Minor, around all the Mediterranean area. He went from an enemy to a leader, and he's taken the giftings God has given him, and he's stewarding them to the best of his ability. He's using his gifts and his role to spread the gospel. And Paul's story is our story. Spiritually, without grace, we're nothing. But because of grace, we have gone from death to life. We were dead in our sins, and now we're alive in Christ. We were enemies of God, and now we're sons and daughters of God. And not only are we made alive spiritually, he's also given us a role. 1 Corinthians 12 shows this beautiful picture of the body of Christ. And the reality is that for anyone in this room that would say, Keystone's my home, is that you have a role in the body. And it's a good role. Maybe you aren't the apostle. I'm not. Very few people in history have had the influence of Paul, but some of you are a stay-at-home mom and a greeter on our hospitality team for the glory of God. Some of you are CPAs for the glory of God. You work on cars. You're a teacher. You're an engineer, and you serve back here. I don't know what your role is, but because of the grace of God, God has given you something to do. And he's asked us to be roles because with grace, we are something. And he's gifted us and he's given us resources to invest back into his kingdom. So without grace, we are nothing. But with grace, you are something. With grace, you're something. Who are you because of grace? With grace, you are something. The next question is, what can you do because of grace? If without it, you're nothing. With it, you're something. What can you do because of grace? Pick up verse 10 again. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. His grace has changed some things in me. And on the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have believed. We have to remember Paul's history here. Before Paul came into grace, Paul was a zealous Jew. He was a hard worker. He had kind of been raised up in the ranks of the who's who among the Jewish community. He kind of had the Harvard level education. He was a big deal in Jewish world. He knew how to work hard. This brother was not scared of a hard fight. But in Christ, with grace, he knew how to work hard. However, when he's working for the Lord, what he says is, yet not I. Yet not I, but by the grace of God. So he's not looking at the way he knows how to work hard in his own flesh. He's looking, saying, look, when I'm working in grace, it's not because of me. It's actually because of grace that I can do the work. And here's what we see. His work was impossible to do without the grace of God. We forget his life story. It was not easy being an apostle trying to plant churches all around Asia Minor. It wasn't an easy job. It was very difficult. What we see in his life is he would have never been able to do his job on his own strength. He had to have the grace of God. I'm going to read you some of his exploits. This is actually in 2 Corinthians 11 and 12. I'm just going to read some highlights. You don't need to turn there, but just listen to this and imagine if this was on your job description, okay? 5 times I received the 40 lashes minus one from the Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. 3 times I was shipwrecked and I've spent night and day in the open sea. On frequent journeys, I faced dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, danger in the cities, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, and dangers among false brothers, toil and hardship. many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, cold and without clothing. Not to mention other things, there is the daily pressure of me, my concern for all the churches. If that was your job description, how would you be doing right now? And then in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, he explains it this way. Therefore, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in my flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to torment me so that I would not exalt myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it would leave me. But he said to me, this is what the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Paul's saying here, I knew how to work hard. I knew how to get things done. But even in my own strength, there was no way I could keep up with what God wanted for me. I had to be powered by grace. So what about us? How does that interact with us? The way of Ankeny and the way of Iowa is hardworking folk. Salt of the earth, get the job done, whatever it takes. We know how to work hard, don't we? And we know how to work hard. We're willing to work hard. It's our culture that has nothing to do with Christ. Do you understand? Our willingness to work hard has nothing to do with Christ. And here's what you need to know this morning. You will face circumstances in your life that will make you want to stop working. It'll make you want to stop seeking after God. Think of it this way. Some of you, even currently in this season, you are exhausted and almost quitting in the fight against sin and the fight for holiness. You're just exhausted. Like, I don't know that I can fight this sin anymore. This marriage is getting too hard for me to fight in my strength. I don't know that I have any more grace for the boss of me, because I want to harm them. We just come to the end of our ropes where we're just done. You've got to have grace. You've got to be powered by something stronger than your own strength. Some of you, in working in God's kingdom, you're tired. The 8 o'clock people who had to serve this morning, they're tired in the kingdom work, right? And there's going to be times where we're just exhausted. Maybe you're leading a connection group and it's been hard. Maybe you're patiently serving someone and it's been a really hard season. Even in this unfinished season, listen, it's exciting to give to unfinished right now. At month 9, 15, and 18, somebody's going to need some grace to power through. And here is what Paul is gospel aware in this situation. And he's saying this, what can you do because of grace? Grace gives you the power to keep working. Not your own strength, not your own instincts, not your own experience. He is gospel aware and says, listen, if I'm going to continue chasing after God, it's going to be because of his grace empowering, not because I'm strong-willed and just going to do it. So if we're going to be successful in kingdom endeavors, I would argue that the biggest predictor are you gospel aware? Are you aware that without grace, you're nothing? And I'm not trying to offend you. You have value. I'm just saying, spiritually speaking, without grace, you are nothing. But with grace, you're something. He's made you a new creation. He's given you roles in the kingdom work. He's given you a role in this church. And lastly, grace will give you the power to stay working. And this is the story of Unfinished Church. You've heard this verse so many times. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So who were you before God started a good work in you? You were nothing. You didn't have anything to offer God. In fact, you were an enemy of God. And the next question is, who are you because he started in something in you and he's carrying it on? And the answer is, you're something. You're a child of God. He's given you a role in this church. He's given you gifts to steward. And lastly, what can God do through you until the day of Christ Jesus? And the answer is if you're trusting in yourself, good luck. Good luck. If it ain't going to work for Paul, it's not going to work for you. Eventually, your strength, your focus, your stamina will fall away. But he can give you grace to stay working and to stay focused on serving the kingdom and building his kingdom and not your own. So,